All right, since we left a little early, we had a couple extra minutes here, but I'd like to introduce Simon Milford from DNV.
Thank you very much. Good morning. The title is spelled out, it was originally in acronyms, CPA, and its relation to CC. So I was going to ask you, which one of those letters C you thought stood for cryptography? Because the answer is none of them, because there's very little to do with cryptography in this talk. So commercial product assurance and common criteria. So if you were expecting cryptography, you were in the wrong room. If you're here because the Wi-Fi signal's good, that's fine. There are chairs. Let's go. If you have questions, come and stand at the microphone and we'll take them as we go. Let's see how this works. So, just a bit about DNV, really, and I guess many people won't have heard of DNV. It stands for Det Norske Veritas, the Norwegian truth. And we've been doing certifications for over 150 years. I guess it won't come as a surprise to you to hear that not all of those are in IT. DNV, Det Norske Veritas, stands for the Norwegian truth. That's the name of the company, Det Norske Veritas, GL. GL stands for Germanischer Lloyd. Anyway, as I say, we've been doing certifications for over 150 years, not all in IT. We do a lot of work in the maritime area, certifying designs of shipping, and a lot of work in oil and gas, right? Again, looking at the safety and security, not necessarily IT security, in oil and gas energy generation. What else do? We do provide software. There's a software delivery in a variety of industries. We work in life services, and I sit in the energy division, which looks at wind turbines, as you can see, how energy is generated, how it's distributed. And we are now a security lab. Why do we have security? So there's a whole bunch of risks that we all know we're facing at the moment. Clearly I could add some on at 2017 at the top. Recent attacks around ransomware, for example. So we need security in all industries that DNV are operating in. We need some kind of IT security. So how do we do this? So we now have a cybersecurity test lab. Actually, we have several cybersecurity test labs. One in the UK, which is mine, and we're a common criteria lab and a commercial product assurance lab, hence the title. There are other labs in Arnhem, in Oslo, in Spain, in Singapore. We're a global organisation, but we'll just focus on the UK for the moment. So we're busy in smart grids, smart meters. These are all things which are coming importance. And as I say, commercial product assurance and common criteria. That's why I'm here. Not quite sure why you're here, but that's why I'm here. So what is commercial product assurance? So it's a UK-specific product assurance scheme. And what do I mean by UK-specific? So vendors from anywhere in the world can apply, can put products through product assurance. It's UK-specific because it's run by the UK government, and the results are only formally recognised within the UK. There are some informal arrangements to recognise CPA certificates elsewhere. NATO, for example, has a recognition of CPA. But generally, it's run in the UK. All the labs are in the UK. They don't have to be. International labs would be quite welcome. But at the moment, all of them are in the UK. So I guess a lot of you will have heard of CESG, the Communications Electronic Security Group, as was. That was the government organisation that used to certify common criteria and certifies commercial product assurance. They changed their name towards the end of last year. In fact, on the 14th of February this year, they opened the National Cybersecurity Centre. So wherever we see CESG, now we talk NCSC. More acronym overload, I'm afraid. Sorry about that. What is commercial product assurance? It's based on pre-specified functionality. in some ways a bit like you've heard Lachlan just recently talking about protection profiles. So protection profiles are the equivalent in common criteria, but these are known as security characteristics. And there are documents written covering a whole range of products. Smart meters, obviously we've talked about smart meters. There are gas meters, electricity meters, communications hubs. There are security characteristics for encryption devices, hardware encryption, USB hardware encryption. There are characteristics for virtualization products, quite a range of characteristics. So there is a defined methodology for CPA in this rather funkily titled document called the Process for Performing Foundation Grade Evaluations, PPFGE. That's how evaluations are supposed to be run. That's the Bible that all the labs use to tell them, gives them some guidance as to how to operate, and it's guidance rather than being very specific. Testing is by labs. We are a lab. DNVGL is a lab in the UK scheme. There are others, I believe. I don't know any names. You'll have to go look. Certification, again, by what used to be called CESG, but now the National Cybersecurity Centre.
Simon, could you move the mic maybe a little more?
Is that any better? Thank you very much. I keep tripping over the wires that are under the table here and step back and something will fall off soon. Okay, how long are certificates valid under CPA? So generally 2 years. For smart meters, there's a special case being discussed, and so the certificates for smart meters are valid for 6 years. There is an assurance maintenance program with CPA, and CPA includes an element of sort of predictive assurance. There's an element called build standard, where we as a lab go and look at a vendor and try to assess how they do things like configuration management, how they do floor remediation, all to give us some confidence that as they're developing updates to the product, that actually those will have a level of assurance as well. So the intent is that a product will maintain its assurance even as it goes through updates. Clearly, if they make significant changes to the product where security functionality is implemented in a different way, then we expect some re-evaluation to be done. But the certificate still remains valid while that's going on. So what is common criteria by contrast? And again, Lachlan's talked about it a lot about some common criteria. So it's international. A whole bunch of governments have signed up to it, 26 or so governments. 17 or so governments deliver certificates. Governments all around the world. Lots of European countries, America, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, South Korea, Japan, Malaysia, a whole bunch of them, as you know. So it's fairly international. And again, based on pre-specified functionality, and I'm sort of talking about common criteria, new common criteria, if you like, collaborative protection profiles, which Lachlan talked about earlier. So there are pre-specified functionality for classes of products. This is the functionality we expect you to implement, and the current ones are known as collaborative protection profiles. Again, there's a defined methodology, known rather more sensibly as the common evaluation methodology. That describes what it is. It's the common methodology for doing common criteria evaluations. And new evaluations, new collaborative protection profiles, have a bunch of supporting documents which talk about assurance activities and what the evaluators need to do. And again, testing by labs and certification by governments. And again, DNV is a common criteria lab operating in the UK scheme. There are a bunch of other labs in the UK scheme, and clearly there are many labs in the schemes worldwide. So how was certificate validity for common criteria is not quite so clearly specified, I don't think, as it is in CPA terms. CPA 2 years or six. certificates are valid. Some schemes say that the certificate is invalid at the moment it's printed. Some schemes say it has a validity of 2 years, 5 years, whatever. You need to go and speak to the scheme who is developing your particular certificate. And again, there's assurance maintenance process with common criteria, similar to that in the commercial product assurance. So, why am I here at the International Cryptographic Module Conference talking about CPA and CC? So we have lots of the letters C here. So, most things that go through common criteria and commercial product assurance actually have crypto in them. So we need some crypto assurance. In CPA, the commercial product assurance, that sort of formally recognises CMVP, CAVP certifications in the process for performing foundation-grade evaluations. There's a whole section about how we should evaluate crypto, and basically it says the easiest way is to go and get a CAVP, CMVP certificate, and then we as Test Lab just recognise that that's valid, as long as, of course, as it's for the right version. If you don't want to do CAVP and CMVP, then CPA allows labs to do their own validation, but clearly CAVP, CMVP is the most straightforward way of doing it. So you get a return on investment. You've spent some money on your CAVP, CMVP investment. You can actually reuse that again in CPA, for example. Oh, hang on a second, let's go back to that one. So, going along the bottom, CAVP and CMVP gives you good crypto assurance, but actually that's just the crypto, and you need to get some assurance in the rest of the product functionality. That's what CC and CPA does. We all need that product assurance because there are all of those vulnerabilities, all of those threats that are out there at the moment. And an IoT is Internet of Things is a coming thing. It's important now, and it will get more important. And again, these devices will have cryptography, but also they need to have other functionality looked at. So both CC and CPA can be used in IoT as long as the functionality descriptions are developed. So what are the differences between CPA and CC? So as we've said first, national for CPA, international for common criteria. That's the very straightforward one. This is probably a bit controversial. Some people would say CPA is quicker. Some people would say actually common criteria is quicker. Common criteria can be quicker where people have experience of going through it. A lot of people, vendors who are taking products through CPA, tend to be new to evaluation products. And particularly in the smart metering case, vendors are very good at making gas meters and electricity meters, but they've never in the past had to think about cybersecurity, how to evaluate that kind of functionality. So it's taken them a long while to get their heads around what they need to do to support an evaluation. So collaborative protection profiles, again, as Lachlan talked about earlier, they're written by industry groups. So international technical communities, where you have representation of hopefully end users, labs, government schemes, all those groups, all the stakeholders get together and agree the collaborative protection profile. In CPA, the security characteristics are written by the National Cybersecurity Centre. There were some moves a couple of years ago to have an industry group develop security characteristics, and a couple of them actually got almost to the point of being published, but NCSC legal department stopped that. There was some concerns about liability and so on. So now all the SCs are written by National Cyber Security Centre, and one of the big problems with CPA is they don't have any time and effort to write new ones. So even if you come along and say, I've got a fantastic widget, to borrow Blackland's words, which is needed in government and we need to find an assurance method for it, the chances are they'll say, sorry, you can't have a security characteristic. If you go away and write a collaborative protection profile, then that'll be fine. They'll help there. So there is a process to get new CPPs developed. You can set up an international technical community, you can identify the new domain, you can get people involved, get all the stakeholders, and you can develop a CPP. It's a bit more restrictive in commercial product assurance, unfortunately. So in common criteria, the assurance activities are specified in the collaborative protection profile. And again, as we've seen from Lachlan, they're specified in quite some detail. So it's clear the activities that the evaluator has to do. It's not quite so clear in CPA. CPA, the labs have to take the security characteristic, and then we have to write a thing called an assurance plan, which we agree with the National Cybersecurity Centre, as to this is how we're actually going to test all these mitigations which are defined in the security characteristic. So that does mean that different labs can test a product in different ways. It's just up to NCSC to ensure that those are equivalent, so that the certification is equivalent. So it's not quite so clearly specified as perhaps as common criteria. Commercial product assurance requires vulnerability analysis in the process for performing foundation-grade evaluations. There's a chunk of text in there about vulnerability analysis, and there is some text about fuzz testing. So it expects that the lab undertakes fuzz testing. It expects that we look at interfaces and we throw data at those interfaces, either structured or unstructured, and try to identify vulnerabilities in that way. So commercial product assurance, as I said earlier, has this build standard bit, which sort of gives you a bit of predictive assurance. And again, and common criteria sort of deprecates that. We used to do some of that development environment assessment. It seems to have fallen by the wayside, but CPA still has the build standard. So we still go on the site to developers. We expect them to provide their policies and procedures. How do you do configuration management? And then we expect to go on site and audit and actually check that you do what you said you did. And often you find that people don't. So I thought I'd try to come up with a Venn diagram. So here we go, and we had CAVP first, because we're at this conference. So there is a bit of an overlap with commercial product assurance. So you can take your CMVP, CAVP results, and you can just directly reuse those in a commercial product assurance evaluation. The lab will just take that certificate, ensure it's relevant, job done. Common criteria, we plug that in. So again, CMVP, CAVP, you can use it generally in a CC evaluation. Diane was talking earlier about how it's used in NIAP. That may not be exactly the same way as it's used in other schemes. And again, you have to go and speak to the national scheme that you're doing your CC evaluation in as to whether they're happy to respect CMVP and CAVP. But there is some overlap there. And there's also overlap between CC, common criteria, and commercial product assurance. So you can take some CC results and use them in commercial product assurance. Let's have a look. So the bit in the middle where everything overlaps, you can take a CAVP, CMVP on your product, particularly if the CPA security characteristic now points at a collaborative protection profile. So that's why there's an overlap here. For example, in firewalls, in CPA, in those, the security characteristic now says, go away and do a common criteria evaluation against the collaborative protection profile. Well, by the way, where you've got optional functionality, you need to do this, this, and this. So it specifies very clearly which functionality we expect. So you can use your CMVP, CAVP, and you can use your CC results and go into CPA. Now the diagrams on here, so we take the FIPS 140, we can use it in there isn't really a CPA logo, so I like to National Cybersecurity Centre up there. So you can use those FIPS results directly in a CPA evaluation, that's fine. You can sort of use your FIPS 140 results in a common criteria evaluation, subject to the scheme recognising it, and so on. And then you can take that common criteria evaluation result, and that can lead you into a CPA, a foundation grade certification. You'll notice that the arrow from common criteria to CPA is one directional. There is no way at the moment to go back the other way. You can't take a commercial product assurance certificate and generate automatically a common criteria certificate from it at the moment. You can generate common criteria and go to CPA, but not the other way around. So requirements. So a bunch of security characteristics. You can go online on the National Cyber Security Centre website, and there's a collection of security characteristics, so you can see all the ones that there are there. So there are four for smart meters, there are some for USB encrypted USB sticks, there are some for virtualization, there's a whole range of data destruction devices. You can go on there and you can look at what the requirements are, and you can see whether the product which you manufacture as a vendor, whether it actually matches any of those. And again, it may match multiple security characteristics. It may just match one or two, or just match one. If it doesn't match any, then you're not going to get very far with commercial product assurance. Common criteria portal, as we know. So again, there's a list on there of collaborative protection profiles supporting documentation. There's also a list of the older protection profiles. You can go on there and you can look up which protection profiles you might be able to match. And again, there are certified products list. There's a CPL on the CPL on the CPA website on the NCSC. There you go. So National Cyber Security website, again, there's a certified products list, and you can go and look and see which products there are there, which security characteristic they were evaluated against, when they're evaluated, what the validity date is, when they're likely to be up for re-evaluation. Ditto on the common criteria portal, you can look up all the certified products, and again, these are certified against security targets, old style protection profiles, and new style collaborative protection profiles. So there's a great long list. You can go and do research there. That's pretty much about it for the comparison between CC and CPA. Floor is open for questions. Or if you go back to coffee. Laurie.
I just want to remind you that Canada is 150 years old this year.
Well, there you go.
So, okay.
I suspect some people would say Canada's actually geographically, geologically a bit older than that, but I'll take your point. Anyway, carry on, sorry.
Why would I go through a CPA if the UK is recognizing the common criteria evaluation that I have? What's the incentive for a vendor to do that? Is it because there's specific government national security requirements that require CPA? Why would I do that?
So,
what's the advantage of it?
Yeah, no, good question. So there are things for which you can do CPA for which you can't do common criteria. So smart metering is a classic example for that. So the security characteristics for smart metering are written around the UK smart metering architecture. So if you want to deploy smart meters into the UK, you have to have them CPA certified, and that's mandatory. Why else would you do it? It might make your procurement route easier. So some procurement organisations in the UK might say, we expect to see a CPA certificate for a firewall. And actually, the process for doing that is you've gone and got your CC certificate somewhere else, which should be recognised.
Yeah.
You are quite right. But you know how procurement organisations work. On the tick box it says CPA. And if you come along and say, but I've got my common criteria, which should be as good, quite often the procurement person won't actually understand that actually, yes, they are as good, and they are accepted. So there are some ways where actually it just eases your way through the procurement process. And actually, if you've got the common criteria, it's a very straightforward, pretty low-cost process to get that certification.
Okay.
It's really the national requirements
on top of common criteria are starting to be more and more prevalent, or continue to be more and more prevalent, and that starts to fracture.
So there are in the UK, the plan is to move to collaborative protection profiles. So common criteria will be the prime way of getting assurance in products. there are a bunch of products for which there are security characteristics because the UK has a need for which there are not yet collaborative protection profiles. When there are collaborative protection profiles, then those security characteristics will die and they'll just point at collaborative protection profile. I suspect there will never be, for example, a smart metering protection profile which meets the UK requirements, so that CPA security characteristic will always be there.
In relation to CPA, but a slightly different question. In United Kingdom, there is another service called CAPS. What is the difference between CAPS, CPA, and CC?
Right. If you go on the National Cyber Security Centre website,
yes,
you'll find there are actually a whole range of assurance services. So CAPS, CAPS is the CESG, the C stands for CESG, even though they're now known as the National Cyber Security Centre, so it should be NAPS, but so that's the CESG approved products. So that's their assessment of cryptography, particularly for higher level cryptography within the UK. So it's a much more national, if you want to get high grade crypto, then CAPS approval is the way to go. So CPA is much more at the unclassified level. CAPS is at the much higher level. You'll also find there are things called CAS-T, which is much more about assessing services than products. There's CAS-T and there's CAS, which is telecoms, and there's CAS-D, which is destruction. So they look at services and how companies provide services. Mm-hmm. But say CPA is a product, an unclassified product.
Thank you very much.
Good question then. Thank you. Carry on. You've got plenty of time because
as soon as a CPP has an equivalent for security characteristic in CPA scheme, it can be kind of substituted or replaced. And how does this work in practice?
So the security characteristic, an original security characteristic has a bunch of mitigations in it.
Yeah, I'm familiar with
those. So just for other people in the room, there's some functional requirements in there, which they call dev mitigations. There are some assurance requirements, which they call Vera mitigations. And actually, there are some requirements around the deployment, which is the through life. So as a collaborative protection profile, and the firewall one is a classic case, so there were a whole bunch of, these are the UK specific requirements in the security characteristic. Now the collaborative protection profile has arrived, the security characteristic has been reissued, so all the mitigations have been taken out, and the security characteristic now says, go do common criteria against this collaborative protection profile and make these selections where you have functionality selections. So you have to do particular cryptographic algorithms, and there might be particular ways of doing key agreement or whatever. But that security characteristic just says, go do common criteria. So once you've done common criteria, and as we discussed with Laurie, actually that should immediately be valid. But what the CPA security characteristic is doing is saying, you've got a certificate against the common criteria, but actually you're doing it exactly the way we want you to do it. So you pick the right selections, and that's what gives you the CPA foundation grade evaluation. So if you go and look on the list of security characteristics, some of them have all the function requirements in the mitigations in. Some of them are just two or three pages which say, go do that collaborative protection profile.
Okay. And in this case, if the product is certified against CPP,
mm-hmm,
it can practically automatically receive CPA. It just need to submit with reference, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, if there are no more questions, we can always go and have tea and coffee.